ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night. Welcome to Soccer Today for Friday, November 19th, 2021. Dwayne, it's part deux, part dos, part two of our MLS Cup preview show, where today we're going to get our feet wet. We're going to get on the record and give our predictions. But first, how are you today, Dwayne?
I'm doing well. I'm just recovering from the international break, and I'm ready to get excited for club football again, which, you know, normally I'm would have been like playing trumpets when we came on. But as I said yesterday, it was an exciting break for us for the international side. But but I'm ready. I'm ready to get back to the grind.
Of course, yesterday we looked at each matchup with a look more broad. We didn't give our predictions. We gave our thoughts on maybe where the strengths were and maybe who the favorites were. And we gave a couple of narratives, the home field, opening goal, and a few other things that are going to be interesting to keep an eye on, because we left the predictions for today. We're going to go through the bracket, your bracket, my bracket. We're going to go through our picks because we have four subjects. Biggest story, breakout star, golden boot, and MVP. Each we've chosen our picks there. And we, of course, have our bracket, the entirety of the bracket. So, Dwayne, we are going to dive right in. And we're going to start with you. We're going to start with your bracket. And we're going to start on the Eastern Conference. Of course, New England moves on. But let's take a look at Dwayne's bracket on that side. NYCFC, Dwayne's favors over Atlanta. Dwayne's got Orlando over Nashville. New York over Philly. Upset. Big upset. Seattle over Salt Lake. No upset. Kansas City over Vancouver. Sorry, Whitecaps. Dwayne favors the chalk for this one. And Portland against Minnesota.
Exactly. Yeah. And look, going through them really quick. The NYCFC Atlanta game, I really view that one as kind of a toss-up game. So the home advantage is what I'm going to give that one to. I mean, it is a significant home advantage in Yankee Stadium there. And they are, of course, playing there this time as opposed to last year. You got Orlando, Nashville. Look, I talked about Nashville in yesterday's show a little bit and how I just don't believe that their tactics will work in an elimination game over the long run. Now, they could win this game, but they'd lose the next in my mind. They're a 50-50 proposition. I think Orlando, started to turn it around in the second half of the season, and they just have more game changers. And that's ultimately why I went there. In terms of the upset, New York or Philadelphia, again, New York had a bit better form at the end. This is a pretty close game. Philadelphia's never impressed me all year. They were so good last year. Obviously, they lost some pieces. They managed to claw themselves back up into second place, and that's good for them. But again, I don't necessarily see anything there. Maybe I'm wrong. It could be my bias. Who knows? But hey, I have to pick someone, right?
It's your predictions. Exactly. You're allowed to choose whatever you want, and it's all okay. Which means we're going to have Orlando, New York, 6-7 in one of the conference semis, and in the other one, it would be New England versus NYCFC. On the west side, it will be Portland, Colorado, and Kansas City, Seattle, which means for Dwayne, here, let's get Dwayne's other matchup in 1 second. I'll get it ready here. So when we go, Dwayne, in your second round matchup, we have NYCFC over New England. Wow. Upset. New York over Orlando, another upset. Portland beating the Rapids. What another crazy playoff Dwayne is going to experience. And then Seattle wins over Kansas City. At least one favorite has to win. That's Dwayne's conference semis.
Yeah, you said New York over Orlando. I'm looking at my bracket here, and I have Orlando over New York. But alas, we'll move past that.
Okay, so you have Orlando. No worries. It's just a little graphic mistake here. No worries.
Yeah. I did pick Orlando on my bracket. But look, I'll talk a bit more about New England in a second. I think New York's an underrated team. They have been all year. They were underrated leading into the season, and they kind of, after a bit of a dip of form, like other teams like Orlando have kind of turned it on a little bit. So ultimately, when I looked at the East, and I know New England fans, don't worry, I'll get there in a second. I'm saving it for another part of my conversation. I just think that on form, New York and Orlando might be your best two teams outside of New England. And as I said, I'll speak to New England in a bit. To go to the West real quick, I didn't mention the Whitecaps. I feel I should. I mean, you've heard my argument for a week and a half, 2 weeks now, right? They're overperforming their metrics, and I think that's going to blow up, and that's fine. They have some positive vibes to build upon, and that's going to be a positive season overall. So it's not a diss on you. It's just a reflection of where I think the strength is.
Yeah, and losing to Kansas City is not necessarily something to be ashamed of either in the first round for them. But in the second round, you do have Seattle beating Kansas City, and which leads Wayne to NYCFC versus Orlando, according to your picks in the Eastern Conference Final. And we would have Seattle hosting Portland on the other side in this Eastern Conference Final here. NYCFC Orlando, a 4 seed and a 6 seed versus a 2 seed and a 4 seed. But Dwayne picks NYCFC over the Lions, the 2015 expansion brothers. NYCFC would move on versus the Lions. And Portland beats Seattle for a Portland NYCFC MLS Cup final. And I did the calculations, Dwayne, and that final would take place in Portland.
And there you go, which we'll get there in a second. Look, NYCFC over Orlando is, again, it's another coin flip game. I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at the differences. This home field advantage, again, you spoke of that yesterday, how significant it is in MLS playoffs. You know, if you're going to wager a little bit on this later, you might want to think about that. That said, you know, I eliminated New England. I eliminated Colorado, both home teams, both number one seeds. So, as I said, I'll speak to that, and I think you might get where I'm going with this. But when we're looking at an MLS Cup final between Portland and the NYFC, and NYCFC in Portland, well, we got some home advantages there for Portland. We got some experience advantages for Portland. They've won a couple MLS Cups. They've been in an MLS Cup relatively recently. I don't know how it is. 2015 recently? I don't know. It's kind of on the cusp now. But
it's pre-pandemic, but I guess it still counts as recent. Dwayne, which one would you pick? A battle of number four in the MLS Cup for the trophy, for the Philip F. Anschutz Trophy. Who stands in the confetti?
It's going to be out there in Portland again. I am picking the Portland Timbers, who are on good form, who are kind of an underrated team, who have a lot of veteran players that are okay and healthy right now, and that we're firing at the end of the year, that have won an MLS Cup before. That's why I think it's in recent history, because a lot of their stars were there the last time they won it. I think this will be like TFC in 2017, 2019, kind of when they went to the final. They're going to be the last run for these guys. But I think it's going to end with an NBA title. It's not going to end with an NBA title. That would be really significant.
Yeah, it would be really significant for Portland, because they do have a team at least. But, you know, it's not the greatest of teams.
They went to the Western Final the year the Raptors won. So anyway, but I was saying the Timbers. If the Timbers were to win the NBA title, like, that's a story. But my God, they can play basketball. How did
they let them win? How did this happen? He dunked with his feet.
Portland is my MLS Cup pick. There you go. I didn't go chalk. I think no one can accuse me of going chalk. So there you have it. Portland Timbers, NBA. Why am I saying NBA?
I don't know.
Major League Soccer champions.
It's an interesting choice. I like how you did take a lot of upsets, and it's going to happen. There's always upsets in the playoffs. Now the question is, are the upsets going to be compounded like you chose? And we'll see at the end of the tournament how right or wrong we were. I can probably say we were probably both really wrong. We'll see. We were both really wrong in the beginning of the year. We had some of the things right. We didn't have Columbus as high and other few things we did get right. But let's start now, Dwayne. Let's look at my bracket. Let's take a look. And those, by the way, those are the bracket we did on our bracket challenge on MLSsoccer.com. You have the link in the description below if you want to join us. Before the first game Saturday afternoon, make sure you join our bracket challenge and measure yourself to us in your prediction skills and see if you are a direct descendant of Nostradamus. Maybe I am, I don't know. But Nostradakev, that's what I have for you to start. All right, let's get first of all my bracket number one for Kevin. It should be right here. Here we go. I have NYCFC over New England, Dwayne. I also have Nashville over Orlando. I'm going with Nashville. I'll explain in a second. Philly over New York. Seattle or Salt Lake. My upset is Vancouver, and my other upset is Minnesota. I believe Minnesota is going to beat Portland. Minnesota has done well this year against Portland. They have played well in Portland. Minnesota is the bogey team of the Portland Timbers this season in Major League Soccer, and that will continue. That's my thought process behind that one. Also, for Vancouver, Dwayne, they're really hot heading into the playoffs. And as you get ready with your phone in a second, I think Vancouver has the opportunity to have an upset in round number one. And then we'll see if they can parlay that into a good result in round number two. But that's my bracket. Not a lot of upsets, but my upsets are Vancouver over Kansas City and Minnesota over Portland.
You know, Kevin and I, when we do predictions or when we talk about sports gambling on here sometimes, you know, Kevin's a little more cautious in his picks than me. I tend to go for a little bit wilder swings so that if I hit, I can have more of a moment to brag about it. So that's a little bit of an insight probably into our personalities too there. I don't know, but that's what makes the show work too. So,
yeah. Well, to me, Minnesota is truly that's data-driven. To me, Minnesota is a data-driven decision. And for Vancouver, if you take out this part of the season where they were losing a lot at the beginning, they're the best team in the Western Conference over the last 4 months, 5 months. So that's not an upset either. So that's where those are driven. NYCFC, I do pick them because of Castellanos. You have that type of player. You're always dangerous in the playoffs in Major League Soccer. And I think that's a big influence in my choice there. Atlanta's not coming in that hot. NYCFC stumbled upon a few obstacles, but they got a job done on decision day, and they're going to host this one. Nashville? Well, defensively, they're one of the best teams in the league, and that's where we see Orlando differently, is you see Orlando being able to do good results, but I see Nashville as being defensively strong enough to stop Zimmerman, well, to stop the other team with Zimmerman, and Alistair Johnston, the best defender this country has produced in a long, long time. And Philly, I think Philly has what it takes to, we'll see how far they go. You don't finish second by mistake. Yes, it's close, but Philly over New York.
Yeah, well, honestly, that's to me, obviously I picked New York there based on form a little bit, but it wouldn't be a huge upset in any way whatsoever. I can't really argue against someone picking Philadelphia in that game there. Look, the only one that I think we're going to disagree on two fronts. As anyone who knows me knows, I think Vancouver's massively overrated, and you can't look at a streak of lock and call that a trend, even if, you know, there's been some good markers there. I still think it's lock.
Oh, yeah. No, but for a one-game situation against a team you beaten just a few weeks ago, that's where I say momentum, confidence equals one win. They're not going to win MLS Cup, right?
Yeah, so. you can't argue against anyone picking anything. It's MLS playoffs, right?
The only thing you can argue is Toronto or Montreal are winning this thing because they're not in the playoffs.
Or any of the other teams not in it 100%. Yeah, no, look, luck plays a major role, and this is funny. Bob Bradley let go of the mutual consent, obviously.
Yes.
Famous mutual consent yesterday.
So we alluded to yesterday on the show. We thought, oh, it's going to happen eventually. And of course, it happened the same day.
Yeah. And a lot of the LA fans were like, well, clearly Bob wasn't the guy that was going to take us to the over the top in the playoffs. And I always bristle at that because, no, when you're talking about a four game sprint, there's a hell of a lot of fine line luck that gets in there. Like Carl Robinson would be very proud of me right now. It's true, though, right? Like, there's nothing he could have done differently in any of those playoff losses. They just got a bad bounce here and there and they lost the games. It's not a different game, it's just part of the same thing.
Yeah.
You got to set yourself up to be in the position to win, and eventually you will. That's kind of where it's down to.
It's true. All right, let's continue now. Let's take a look at my round number two. So my round number two, this conference semis, my choices were New England against NYCFC. I choose New England. I am not a believer of rust. Rust ain't real. Well, it's real, but you can use CLR and get rid of it. New England over NYCFC. Nashville over Philly. Nashville at home, they're tough to beat. This one's on the road because they are able to get results on the road with a 7-foot-tall defenseman, Walker Zimmerman, over Philly. Nashville was the second-best team in the East most of the year, And I think they're going to show that in the playoffs. We'll see how further they go than the Eastern Conference. Colorado over Minnesota. The Rapids, to me, are a very good team. And I think they're going to do well. I don't necessarily agree with Dwayne's one and done for the top seed with the break and the bye disrupting their momentum. I think the rejuvenation of the old legs will come into play in Colorado with the youth of Marc Anthony Kay and the influx of enthusiasm he brings down the road. We'll see Colorado do well, and I pick them over Minnesota and Seattle over Vancouver because, well, death, taxes, and the Sounders winning in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, and like midnight comes too, right? Like it's there's obvious that as well. It's rare that, you know, as much as we talk about how anyone can win an MLS Cup, I think the last time a truly bottom seed won was RSL in 09. I think that was your last true low seed winning. I know, I guess maybe you could say the Colorado the following year, Colorado over Dallas in the final. That was a weird one too.
But yeah, which one is 11 years ago, one's 12 years ago. So both are a long time ago.
And yeah, we're talking about a league that had 16 teams in it at that time. So, you know, it's much different league by now. And that's MLS one. Dallas, Colorado, that final is probably realistically the divide from MLS 1.0 ending and 2.0 starting.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. A long time ago. All right, let's go to my conference final. New England over Nashville, number one over number three. And then Seattle over Colorado because Seattle knows how to play when it counts. And it's all about the higher offensive threat in my mind. And from Rui Diaz to maybe an informed Jordan Morris. Yeah, it's going to be tough to beat Seattle, at least all the way to MLS Cup. Because I think we're going to get something we rarely do. It's not going to be number one versus number one. There is going to be some upsets. But throughout the season, Seattle was the true number one team in the Western Conference. They're stumbling into the playoffs. They haven't won in the last five games heading into the playoffs. But to me, that's man management. It's also resting players and making sure they're ready for this time around. But Dwayne, I've looked. And the last time they played each other, New England-Seattle, it did not go the way we think. New England actually gets the better of Seattle in the 13 games they played in the history between the two, 7 wins for New England. They don't play often because, of course, of ones in the West, ones in the East, and Seattle joined the league in 2009. So in those 13 games, 5 wins is for Seattle, 7 is for New England. And that's when New England wasn't that good. And Seattle at New England struggles. And this game would take place at Foxborough. MLS Cup would be hosted by the Crafts. And in my opinion, the winner, the New England Revolution, wins it all. Supporters Shield, MLS Cup, their two first trophies in their history in the same year. Your 2021 MLS Cup champions, the New England Revolution.
If New England makes the final, they will probably win the final because it will be in New England, and they are a good team. You alluded to it, and I might as well just jump into it now. I think my story of this playoff bracket of the two number one seeds going out, and I directly attribute that to them having a longer break than the rest of the teams. I don't like the bye. I think it's unfair. It seems ironic, but there's got to be a better way to reward the number one seed.
Well, just give one more game, and then you do 1-8. And then they play against the winner of 4-5. That's almost better, playing a bad team than not playing anybody. Am I wrong?
Yeah, well, yeah, perhaps. It could be, yeah. Look, it is a single elimination fine line, so they would argue that 2 wins to get to MLS Cup is a lot better than 3 wins to get to MLS Cup, and there's truth to that. But it's in particular right now, the way I would do it, actually, is I would make it so that they have like the rest difference isn't as significant. That's basically what it comes down to. It's not MLS's fault, and I rarely say this. It's not the league's fault that they have this international break to deal with in their playoffs. I don't know what the answer is because you can't really back the start of the playoffs up or the start of the season up too much.
Next year they would, so we'll see how next year goes. And next year we'll have MLS Cup final like last weekend. So that's the timeline for next year.
Yeah, and we'll see. It'll be a test. Of course, that's a weird one because we have a World Cup to deal with there, right? But
yeah, so you need to get it done for last weekend because the World Cup's starting.
Yeah, and look, I was sort of surprised MLS didn't go well. I think it's just the mandate. You can't play games. FIFA will let confederations play games.
FIFA will give you big fines.
That's the only reason MLS is doing this. Otherwise, it would be like, we're watching a World Cup game, and then we're watching an MLS playoff game.
Come do a doubleheader. Yeah, come watch a game, and then watch a game in person. Exactly. But Dwayne alluded to it. We'll come back to the top seed one and done after the break. We'll break down more the thought process behind Dwayne's selection of this biggest story, because that's his biggest story. And we'll break down our other choices, because after the break, it's our picks. We'll give, of course, our picks when it comes for Golden Boot, MVP, the breakout star, and the biggest stories, in our opinion, in Major League Soccer's playoff that starts tomorrow. That and more after this short break.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sports podcasting network. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. Kevlar May joined by Dwayne Rollins, as always. And let's go right into it, Dwayne. You were talking about the top seed, one and done, in the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. And that's Dwayne's first story here. Dwayne's picks, MLS Cup playoff predictions. His biggest story, the top seeds, one and done. Dwayne, the bye, also mixed with the international break, mixed with a bye. How do you think players' legs and the players themselves will react? Because we all know that as much as you want to do scrimmages and simulate game and game conditions, ain't nothing like playing a game.
Yeah, players are creatures of rhythm, right? And it really does affect them when they don't have that opportunity to play. A lot of our listeners here in Toronto, you'll remember how sort of Toronto got out of sync last year in that playoff game against Nashville, and that allowed them to sort of come in, Nashville that is, and with that extra game played and continue that momentum. So it's a two-pronged thing here. You have a team that's out of rhythm, that doesn't have an opportunity to get back in, versus a team that has found their way back in with a win. So they're coming off a confidence high, and they've had that extra game to get back into things. Like, look, players are playing on a lot of adrenaline this time of year too. So in terms of the rest stuff, like, they really, what they need now is 2 months rest, not 2 days or 2 weeks rest, right? So it's not necessarily going to be the be all end all in terms of giving them a break. But, you know, if it's the regular season, I might go the other way. If a team's coming off a bye week, but it's in the middle of the season and players are starting to get beat up, then maybe you give the advantage to the team coming off the bye. It's like the 3-8 thing. Like, when there's a betting tip for you guys. When an MLS team is playing at 3-8, bet against them. They sometimes win it, but it's like 20%. So, right? Like, the odds are not in their favor. But in this, there is a history of teams that have come off byes losing, even though they've been higher seeds and been flying high all year. That's just it, too. When you are the top, I think that if you ask New England and Colorado, I don't want to dismiss Colorado here. Colorado's a great story. And the same thing with them too, like coming off the high of what they did, what they accomplished, they just want to keep going. I'm sure that both of those teams would say, yeah, we'd rather just have eight teams in the playoffs and just play the eight. I'm sure they would, because it's just to them, they believe in their abilities. They believe they're strong. They don't want to lose that momentum. They don't want to lose that forward sort of trajectory that they're on. And I think this bye week combined with the long international break is just, it's bad for the mojo. And I could see it happening here. And look, when I make these predictions, bluntly, folks, I do them also to fit my narrative that I have for the overall playoffs. So I had to pick both these teams out if I believe this, right? So here we are.
All right.
Right. As I said, if New England makes final, I think they'll win it. They're a great team. But here we are.
Next, let's go to Dwayne's breakout star, Daryl DK of Orlando. Daryl DK will have great playoffs, and Dwayne's choosing him as his breakout star.
Yeah, breakouts, some people can argue that semantically, and they'd have a point in terms of the fact that he kind of had his breakout last year. But that's
just
it.
Yeah, but it never happened in the playoffs. You could say that. So.
Yeah, well, and he also didn't have it this year. Everyone expected him to to go, you know, well, they expected him to stay in England last year because he was blowing it up over there. And then when he comes back here for this season, everyone expects him to do great things. And it just doesn't really happen. He doesn't really get the way that he felt, the way that we felt he was going to go. You know, the Pepe in Dallas is taking all the headlines that he was getting last year, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Young American player that's scoring goals.
No one's talking about DK being transferred for 20 million right now.
Yeah, exactly. So here we are. I think we saw it in the last couple weeks of the season. He started to show a little bit of what made him so good last year. And what I think does actually, like, I'll say something right now. I you know, look, people that have been following me on Twitter, Buchanan, you know, Pepe winning the Young Player of the Year over Buchanan. I don't agree.
Yeah.
And when it comes to Pepe, I don't see him having this high ceiling as Buchanan. I also don't see him having as high a ceiling as Dyke, because I think he's just a guy that can go over to England in the championship, and he's shown it already. He can just blast in goals. I'm not sure Pepe's going to do that. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
By the way, Ricardo Pepe has been chosen the Young Player of the Year in Major League Soccer, just ahead of young Tashaun Buchanan.
And that was large. And Buchanan won the player vote and the team vote, but
the media, which is mostly American, have a little bit of influence there.
By national team performances, there's no doubt that they are. Sure. Like, you can't argue otherwise with me. But anyway,
we can say the same for the other one. All right, let's move on to your next one. His Golden Boot. Well, he puts his money where his mouth is. Daryl DK.
Which is, I'm having him playing one less game too. So what that tells you is, I think Orlando's going to win two games. And then lose narrowly in a third game, and then that's going to be combined with Portland sort of getting through on narrow wins. Yeah. That's how I see them playing out.
Sure, makes a lot of sense. And then the MVP, the most valuable player in the playoffs for Dwayne, is Jimmy Chara of Portland.
He's their talisman. He's the guy that stirs the pot out there, right? I mean, it's Team Chara, but anyway, he is absolutely the key player for them. You look at the advanced metrics of this year, he had an outstanding season that has not been looked at in the same way as other teams in this league because, well, it's just Portland. We take them for granted. And they kind of – I called Portland the most MLS team of all time on yesterday's show, and I'll stick with that. They have this ability to, like, disappoint you and excite you in equal measures. And they just have these players that will, like, rise up occasionally and do outstanding things and then just be forgotten about for weeks on end. And if they get hot at the right time and the guy that is there, you know, like I said, stirs the pot for them, is there and doing what he's doing, then he's going to get recognition for that. So that's why I'm picking him as the most valuable player in the playoffs for the team that I'm picking to win the championship, the Portland Timbers.
Makes sense. If you're going to choose them as your winner, makes sense that you choose Jimmy Chara as your MVP. All right, it's my time. Let's go with Kevin's picks. That's me. I'm Kevin, and I'm pointing to my picks. And I'm going to start with my pick number one, biggest story, and Dwayne, that is the home field advantage continuing to be real in Major League Soccer, and the home field advantage being something to remember. Let's not forget home field advantage right now. We have seen in the last 2 years, 21 of 30 matchups have been won by the home field team. And also, when we're looking at undefeated streaks at home in the playoffs right now, Seattle, 16-game unbeaten streak at home during the playoffs. And New England, as much as it's been a long time that they were that good, they haven't been beaten at home in 12 games in the playoffs. Those two teams are my MLS Cup final choice. And that is the reason why. Because of home field advantage. Because of how they're able to win at home. And also because usually they score their first goal. And all those metrics combined equals for wins in 2021 in Major League Soccer. And I truly believe that is going to happen once again. And that is, of course, my home field advantage is real. My biggest story.
Yeah, well, I mean, if it is a New England win, home field advantage will absolutely be a massive story because New England, and we've been saying this all year, that them winning the Shield was a big deal because of that pitch that they play on. You know, we saw it in a much more extreme version in Edmonton. When you're playing on turf in really cold, and you're used to it, you have an advantage over teams that are coming in that are unfamiliar with that. And if they can overcome the rust that I spoke of, then yeah, I do think New England will win. I am not going to argue against anyone that's going to pick New England to win this. They have proven through the entire year that they are a team that is worth supporting, is fun to watch, and has a lot of game changers. Everything that I talk about as being, you know, as being what you need to win in MLS. They are in some ways one of the most well-constructed MLS teams I've ever seen. That doesn't mean I think they're the best MLS team that I've ever seen, because they have restrictions there that they have spent a little bit of money, but that does prevent them from doing it in Atlanta, doing it in Toronto. But they've, through Bruce Arena's smart understanding of the league and just some very pinpointed smart spending and some good signings, they've been able to make.
And it's also coaching. Carles Gil, 2 years ago, who was he? Adam Buxo 2 years ago, who was Gustavo Bou? Like, he was making them, he's making them better. So there's that being said. But if we're looking at my overall choices in my bracket, on the eastern side, it is very much influenced by home field advantage, because Atlanta playing outside is not going to be easy. Nashville, they dominate at home. Orlando is going to be playing under very different circumstances than they're used to. And Philly has a good record over New York, and that's home field influence. On the west side, Minnesota has performed well in Portland. That's why I chose them. Vancouver has played in 20,000 different homes over the last 2 years, so it doesn't apply to them. And Seattle, well, they have the biggest home field advantage in the history of this league. All right, my next point, Dwayne, and it's going to be my breakout star, which will be Tashaun Buchanan for the New England Revolution, leaving on a high note, going to Belgium. But first, he's going to make sure that it leaves a lasting impression in Major League Soccer.
Yeah, I mean, the only argument someone can make against that is the same thing that they can make against me. Is it a breakout if you know who he is already? But what you're saying is he's going to step up to another level altogether. And we certainly saw that in the international play. And if you can continue to build momentum off that, then certainly that is, you know, more than possible. Look. I don't. It's hard to really talk about New England right now because we've talked about them a lot. There was a point this season we hadn't talked about them enough, and now
there's a point where we're even a fatigue over the last few weeks, and because of the bye, we'll see how they react. But if I look at my metrics and if I look at what has made them successful, those should correlate into a playoff success. We'll see if it works. But Tashaun Buchanan would be a reason if that success manifests.
Yeah, absolutely. No, he's the ultimate. I talk about gravy players. That's been one of my themes of this year. A gravy player is a player that you're not going to build a team around necessarily. And with all due respect to Tajan, he's not at the point where I think you build everyone around him, because I just don't think he's not. Like, he's an extra player in Major League Soccer context that's going to, you know, be very, very good in certain elements of his game and kind of average in others. You need sort of a more well-rounded guy to build around. A Gil, right? Like, anyway, that's where I come from.
No, yeah,
when
totally.
You want to win a championship, you need your gravy guys. You need guys that can do that special thing.
And that's why I have my New England so far, because look at how many special guys they do have. From Gil to Boo to Buxa to Buchanan. So I guess if your name is Jill or has a B in it, you're successful in New England. And we're seeing them this year. And there's no way you can defend four attacking threat at the same time. Two, even three, you can maybe for most of the game stifle, but you can't stifle everyone for the entire game. And I guess that's the strength of New England this year also. And it'll be interesting to see how that influences their results, which mean if I choose them as my winner, as Tashaun Buchanan as my breakout star, well, my golden boot is Adam Buxa. Why, Dwayne? Because in his last 10 games, he has 7 goals, 2 assists, and it should have been even more. Adam Buxa has been the best striker over the last 2 months in Major League Soccer. And that momentum will continue. He had a bit of a knock to finish the season. He could have played if the last game of the season was important. He was rested by Bruce Arena heading into the playoffs. And we've talked about Gil, we've talked about Buchanan, and Gustavo Bou was their best striker at the beginning of the season when Adam Buxa was struggling and he had some injury problem and he was trying to fit into the system and find his true role and how to play together with Gustavo Bou and where he stands with Buchanan too. I think, though, that they've figured that out, and that's where he's going to be the one getting the job done, because someone's going to be on Gill, if not two. Someone's going to be on Buchanan because of his performances over the last few weeks. And they're not going to let Gustavo boo by himself or Carles Gil. So someone's going to find themselves all alone in the box with the ball at their feet. And that's going to be Adam Buxa.
Yeah, perhaps this is unfair to even go where I'm about to go. But my only question with New England, with those stars that you mentioned, is whether they're at that extra special level that we've seen some of the breakout, like high level performances in the playoffs were in the past. These are guys that are kind of, this is new. We've only seen it for this season, or kind of evolving into it this season. But by and large, it's not been something that's been there for their entire career. So is this an example of a team just hitting on firing on all cylinders for a single year and outperforming their career metrics for a year? Or is this a situation of players evolving into something that's going to last for a few years? And we'll find out. There's no way to answer that. But that's my only question as it relates to what you just said.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, my last one is... my MVP is Carles Gil, because if you win the Shield and you win the MLS Cup and you're going to win the MVP for the regular season, well, you probably are going to win MVP too, because I think he's going to find a way to be influential, to be the reason behind the success of New England. I think Gustavo Boo is going to struggle. Buxa is going to be the one who scores. Tejon Buchanan is going to be the one to create and find that space on the side corridors. But at the end of the day, Carles Gil will find the feet of Adam Buxa for those goals. He'll have the assists and he'll get the headlines. Carles Gil, your 2021 playoff MVP.
Well, that's the prototype of players that win MVP awards, right? And he's going to win the one named after the fellow who only won it once. I'm never going to get over that. Why do you name your MVP after a guy who only won it once?
Because anyway, they needed to name a trophy after him. And, well, exactly. So there you go. It's not like he didn't have a great career. So it's not like
It's silly to name an MVP.
They didn't name the trophy because he won it so much. They named the trophy after him because he's the biggest star that existed at this league, that was grown in this league at this point.
I always think back, like, here's your hockey reference for the day. So the MLS, when they named it, was 15 years old. So what would the MLS MVP, or so the NHL MVP award be named if it was named after their best player 15 years in, right? Like, I mean, anyway, it's just funny. But nonetheless, we'll get over it. Gil will win that. He will be the MVP of the league. And, you know, that's, again, the type of player that tends to get the highlight, get the attention, and deservedly so. Like, these are special players that drive teams.
Yeah, no, exactly. All right, so Don Duane, we've given our prediction. We went on a limb. We put our necks out there. Literally, we put our necks on a limb. And you know our predictions. We did the same prediction on our MLS Bracket Challenges, which you can join, by the way, in the description below. Now it's time to take out our gaming account, Duane. It's time to put on a different hat. It's time to look at the money opportunities Major League Soccer playoffs can bring. And of course, those odds are taken from one odds maker. There's multiple odds makers. Some odds may vary. And we wish that you check your own places. And if gambling is a problem for you, please, there's the 1-800-GAMBLE. And there's a plethora of other places you can find linked in the description below also. But Duane, there's a few odds to win Major League Soccer, and they're not really surprising when we look at it. Because if we're looking at, and that's of course as of today, New England Revolution is your favorite to win Major League Soccer's trophy with 3.86, meaning if you wager $1 right now on them to win MLS Cup, you would win $3.86. Colorado Rapid, 5.32. Seattle Sounders, 7.84. The Philadelphia Union are fourth with 10.00. Sporting Kansas City is fifth, 11.00. Nashville, 13. And New York City FC at 13. Also, that's your top six odds to win MLS Cup this year.
Yeah, and look, it's going to always sort of mirror how the standings were, for good reason. We're 34 games into the season, and they're going to try and take advantage of that as a handicapper on their own accord. Now, the other thing you always have to remember when you're talking about odds is that the odds are set by odds makers designed to win the most money for them. Not necessarily what they think the best team is, not necessarily what they think is going to win, but how they're going to cover themselves the best. So it's a subtle little game that you have to understand. And if you can understand it well, you can find what's called value and you can do okay. Kevin, just quickly, while you were listing off the odds on the futures, and by the way, I believe on my favorite place, it's 18-1 for my Portland Timbers pick. So if I want to put my money where my mouth is, I'd win $108 on a $10 bet. Now, I just did a quick little parlay, Kevin. Here's one you might want to think of. If you believe in home field advantage, absolutely to its core, the 16 parlay. So if all six home teams win, you get odds of 50-1. Just a little shy, but around 50-1.
Yeah, I don't believe all six will win at home, but on the east side, yeah. So what if maybe I can put Philly, Nashville, and NYCFC together?
Well, I can tell you what it would be. Just give me a second here.
Yeah, because that would be more indicative of what I would do, because on the west, I would parlay the other ones. That would give me better odds. Like, I would parlay Minnesota and Vancouver together, with maybe even Seattle as good measure, and then you get a big, big parlay, but... Just NYCFC at home, Nashville at home, and Philly at home would give me...
You'd be at 7.6.
7.6 is not bad. So 7.6, and you put a couple dollars, you get $14, $15, not bad, not bad.
There you go. Well, there's a little test for you there. Look, I mean, there will be upsets in this playoffs. That's why, yes, I wouldn't play that 16 parlay that I bet on, because you're right. It won't happen. Like, it's highly unlikely that they're not dumb. People aren't going to give you free money. That's not how it works.
Damn it.
But, you know, so it might happen once in 100 times, but, you know, you're going to bet it 100 times before you get the money back, and then you do the math and you didn't really make anything.
That's true. That's true. Exactly.
You just had the rush of winning it the one time, and if you're going for the rush, then, you know, those numbers Kevin just mentioned, you should probably look into them. Look, yeah. It's a fun little the playoffs are fun. As I said yesterday, it's an entertainment. There's an entertainment aspect to it. It's not necessarily about finding the purest, best team. If you were just going to find the purest, most talented team, then why not just set a panel up at the start of the year and say that team has the most talent, they're the champions.
And here's your trophy. Congratulations.
Yeah.
It's called Football Manager. That's what that's called.
I always bristle a little bit at all these people that get so frustrated. Like, people that are pure, like, single table purists will get angry at the idea that a team that isn't the most talented wins a championship. It's like, well, again, like, just look at a spreadsheet then and decide, because otherwise, what's the point? It's sport, right? You play it out. And look, let me speak to the single table people for a second. The playoffs are not a less perfect system. Both of them have disadvantages and advantages. You could say that a player can get hurt and that could kill a season in the playoffs. Well, a player can get hurt and kill a season at a single table, too. If you lose your best scorer for 10 games, you're not going to perform at the top level. It's just part of sport. They're all different. And if every team's playing under the same rules with the same expectations, then whoever wins is champion. Period. End of story.
Exactly. Regardless if it's a 2-team playoff, 20-team playoff, or no playoffs.
No, exactly. And I prefer a much more exclusive playoff. To answer your question of how I would deal with the bye week situation is I would have four teams in total in the playoffs. I would have an Eastern final and a Western final that would be played after the break. And then a week later, you'd play the MLS Cup. That's only three games, but that's how I do it. That's how I would prefer it. Or maybe you go 2-2. Maybe you go home and away in the first round and then play whatever. You know what I mean? But it'd only have four teams in total in the playoffs. Others might say six. Others might say eight. Some people might say 10. Right? Or 20. Who knows? Some people might say everyone gets in. Like, that's not my preference, but it would be fun. I agree.
Why? How about the entire season as a playoff? Oh, wait, that's called single table. Okay, fine.
Exactly. There's no bad system. There's no wrong answer. There's just different opinions. My opinion is a regular season followed by a very exclusive playoff. Others might be something they have already. Others might be no playoffs. We're all right. We're all wrong. That's
how life works. And of course, we have to get along also, which makes it at all more fun. On that note, we hope you enjoyed our two-part pregame show, preview show of Major League Soccer's playoffs. If you have missed yesterday's show, make sure you go back to your favorite podcast application or youtube.com/sportspodcastnetwork, or of course our Twitter page, and find a video replay of yesterday's show where we look at all the games. We look at some of the factors heading into these matchup, home field advantage, opening goal, and also the history of the single elimination since it came back and its influence on the results. You can find that show everywhere you find your favorite podcasts. And of course, we'll be back Monday to break down the weekend of action. Match on tomorrow, of course, two matches on Sunday. We'll come back on Monday to break those down and start to look at Tuesday's matchup also. But as always, for Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kev Larmé. We hope you enjoyed this amazing week of shows on soccer today. And as always, until next time, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.